Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News.
Greetings to everyone from around the world. I welcome you back to another wonderful segment here with ACC News. And again, we are thanking all listeners joining us this evening for this very special primetime segment. And again, I am your host, Matthew Connor, and I am very happy and again, very grateful to be with everyone here this evening. Now, this evening we have back with us our very wonderful and also very inspiring guest. We have leadership and executive coach and also author, Jean Erickson Walker. And she is the founder of Jean Erickson Walker Leadership Coaching. Now, to everyone tuning in this evening, again, may it be leaders, CEOs, management, if there's anyone out there struggling in a leadership position and don't know who to turn to, anyone that feels that they are lacking some form of confidence in decision-making with these management positions, please grab a seat, get very comfortable, because, again, the information that Jean Erickson Walker will share with us tonight may possibly change your life and also your career forever. And it is now Monday, the 31st of July. I would like to remind everybody that is tuning in this evening, especially the people that do live overseas in different time zones, if you do miss any portion of our segment today with Jean, it will be permanently archived on our ACC Global Media Blog Talk Radio site. So please visit us at blogtalkradio.com/ACC Global Media. Now, also, if you're a big part of social media, just about everybody in the world is now these days, we are also on Facebook, and you can listen to the show live from that platform as well. Please visit us at facebook.com/ACC Global Media. And we're also part of the worldwide Twitter. And you can also listen to the show live from that platform as well. Please visit us at twitter.com/ACC Global Media. And you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. Now, be who you are in all you can be. If you transform where you are now, you can really reach places of where you want to be. Dare to dream. Feel the excitement of really taking control of your life by really taking control of your career. And again, this is for all of the executives, the CEOs, and really anyone in a management or leadership position. For over 20 years, executive coach and also author Jean Erickson Walker has really guided people through the twists and turns of their careers, assisting leaders, managers, leadership teams. And really, she spent years working in outplacement businessing, and really what she witnessed was the obstacles of career transition and what it really created for individuals and also organizations alike. Why do so many companies seem to miss the mark while others continue to expand? Have you ever wondered that? Why do so many leaders not understand that their own communication styles are stifling their own employees' potentials? They probably had nobody to turn to for assistance. Much too often, people become victims of the past. You know, also struggling to make changes, to meet new challenges, failing to understand that they sometimes can be their own worst enemies, or sometimes expecting too little of themselves, or lacking the self-knowledge to be confident in decision-making. They learn skills that are bound to them, rather than really exploring new options. And what Jean Erickson Walker really does is teach them how to combine their hard-earned wisdom with innovation in order to lead the race into the future. And again, we have a very special show over here to all of the CEOs, managers, listening very closely to this special segment we have here this evening. And without further ado, to our audience, I am very proud to present to you leadership effectiveness and also executive coach and author, founder of Jean Erickson Walker Leadership Coaching, Miss Jean Erickson Walker. How are you doing on this wonderful evening, Jean?
I'm just great. I'm so glad to be with you and with our listeners worldwide.
Well, we are very happy to have you. Before anything, Jean, if you could please share with the audience, who exactly is Jean Erickson Walker?
Matthew, I wake up every morning and ask myself that same question, don't you?
Very much.
It's a little like Alice in Wonderland. I know who I was yesterday, but today is new, and I wonder who I'll be today. And now tomorrow is a whole new adventure. So each day is just waiting to be discovered, and I think that's kind of key to all of us in making the most of potential of each day. I'm an optimist, and I combine that with a huge sense of responsibility. So I always expect something wonderful just around the corner, which presents a huge challenge because then I can't wait to make it happen. my history, I was born and raised on a cattle ranch in the Little Badlands of North Dakota near the Teddy Roosevelt National Park. And Matthew, on a ranch, each person is critical. No matter your age or your skills, you learn very quickly the values of independence and interdependence. And it certainly doesn't hurt to have a lot of determination and a large dose of optimism. You know, where I grew up, we only had 21 inches of moisture a year to grow crops and hay to feed the cattle.
Wow.
The main source of our income. So you better be optimistic. You better be determined.
Yes.
Our years, you know, started in each spring with that determination and that optimism. And I think, you know, sometimes we had a dose of reality when it got to be harvest time. But I think that has carried through my whole life. I always start with the idea that something wonderful is about to happen, and I'm determined to make it happen. And I don't understand the word no, which can sometimes get me in trouble, but most of the time it's a real value. I've always, by nature, been a teacher and counselor. I think even as a small child, I've always believed in the inherent goodness of people. I really believe that inside each of us are gifts and talents we were given at birth. You know, you walk down the street and you see an 18-month-old, and they have that wonderful, total open-eyed curiosity, that take-charge confidence, you know. And then somewhere along the line, you know, you look at the 18-month-old and down, you know, a little ways and block down, you see a child who's 6 or 7, and they may be clinging to their parents, or they're looking around like, am I doing, is this okay what I'm doing?
Yes.
And I think, you know, we all bear responsibility for spending too much time teaching them to be afraid and teaching them what they can't do and what they shouldn't do, rather than encouraging them to ask why and why not.
And it's funny that you do mention that, because just about everybody these days, the one thing that everybody has in common is that they're afraid.
Yes, at any age, in any situation. CEOs are as much, if not more, afraid each morning and each day than anyone else, because what might not happen or what might happen that they're not prepared for. I'm not, strangely, Matthew, you may think, I'm not a great believer in goals, which is kind of, you know, going against all established wisdom. But the problem with goals is they restrict our thinking and dreaming outside the box. They restrict our ability to see new opportunities and dare go after them. You know, we develop tunnel vision, and all we see is what was visible on the horizon when we set those goals. Well, at the pace that life changes today, you know, today's visible goal on the horizon is probably obsolete by next week. So yes. You mentioned in your introduction about change and why are people afraid of change? It's because we teach people from small childhood to be afraid of the unknown. And we teach them to have goals and be prepared. If you think of someone on a high-speed highway, as we all do, all we do every day, you know, we're all going hell-bent for leather to get to a specific destination. And it's a competition. I mean, we're surrounded by other cars racing to get one length ahead. And then think about some time that you were forced and probably very frustrated by it, but construction or something meant you had to take a detour. And here you were, you know, fussing about the fact that you were losing X amount of time. But suddenly, because you had to sit there's no place else to go, you started looking around and you started discovering interesting scenery. And you began to wonder, who lives here? What do they do? What's happening with that crop? How come those deer haven't been shot in the last hunting season?
Yes.
You know, your whole perception changes. Too many people are on the high-speed highway of their lives, eyes straight ahead, racing to pass the next person and grab the prize, only to discover they missed the journey and the prize turned out to fall far short of their expectation. I sometimes say it is. And it's too many of us, we fall into that trap. You know, it's like a dog chasing a car. It's fun to run and bark, but what do you do with the Hummer once you catch it?
Yeah.
I like to encourage my clients to reconnect with that 18-month-old and discover a world that, you know, you don't have to always control it. Just be open to possibilities.
And I know so many people that are tuning in today, and again, many of the managers and the leaders, a lot of the stuff that I mentioned, they recognize it. They have some of those feelings,
mm-hmm.
Some feelings
mm-hmm.
of uncertainty, the lack of confidence. And they're probably wondering, can she help me? Is this something that'll help me move further up the ladder? I don't want to stay in this position. Who is your typical client base?
Well, if we talk about kind of categories, I don't think any of us are typical. But generally speaking, it would be senior managers and executives, and they'll either be wanting to be more successful, just like you were just talking about, more successful where they are, or, you know, sometimes they need someone to talk to with an objective opinion, someone that where they are safe. And who do you talk to? You know, you talk to family and friends. Well, first of all, you're supposed to be strong for them, right? And they probably don't really understand what you do. You talk to colleagues. Well, once again, you're in competition with them. You talk to your boss, and if you're a CEO, that's probably chairman of the board. Well, who the heck wants to tell them you're scared or that you're insecure or you're wondering? So
that's what Tim gives. It's also people at this level who are looking for new positions or their leadership teams. You know, so often when someone comes in and they have a new leadership team and just trying to bring them all together, you know, today we've had a lot of examples of that at our national government. But bringing people together under one common vision is not a simple task. And we have so much turnover at that level that people are only in their positions about 2.8 years.
Really?
So imagine, if you think of that, every 2.8 years you have a new leader, and that's new to at least some of the people, bringing them all together. So sometimes it's individuals, sometimes it's leadership teams, and I work with people all around the globe, you know, the wonders of technology that sometimes we curse and sometimes we praise. But either in person, if an opportunity arises, by telephone or by Skype. So we are all very connected now.
And it's great that you can help anybody really all over the globe, because
yeah.
I know that the lack of confidence, this is a global issue for many leaders out there. And to be honest, when leaders do lack confidence, what happens to the people that work underneath them?
Do you know what? You can smell it. You know, I always say,
yes.
you know, you think about a dog or a cat, they can smell. They know when you're afraid. They know, you know, and they try to reassure you or they growl at you. I mean, they show. In other words, it's the same thing that happens with people who work with you. They either try to comfort you and make you feel better, which means they're wasting their time rather than doing their jobs, or they growl at you. And make you and everyone miserable. So you're absolutely right. One of the things that leaders don't understand is how important, no matter what their nature, their personalities, they have to have an aura of quiet confidence. Confidence that not arrogant, you know, not pound on the table and carry on and all that sort of stuff. People see through that immediately. But I'm talking about quiet confidence that gives a sense that person is content and at peace within themselves, that they believe and trust themselves. And when that happens, people instinctively turn to them for leadership.
Yeah. And now that you bring that up, because leaders make so many mistakes. So many of them are inexperienced, and they're trying their best to lead and look good for the people beneath them. But again, having the lack of resources to reach to for help really affects them. Can you please very quickly share what's some of the common mistakes that may be made by some of these leaders, really from all over the world?
You know, I would say number one is the need to be the smartest person in the room. Ego. You know, someone with a high ego, particularly, heaven help us, if it's a fragile ego, that needs a lot of reassurance. That takes up all the energy in the room. And I always tell them, if you really are the smartest person in the room, you're hiring the wrong people and you're not doing your job. You should be hiring people who are smarter than you are and more accomplished in whatever it is that is their role. They are not the CEO. You are the CEO. Don't try to do it all yourself. Don't try to make the decisions. Don't try to, you know, I think one of the biggest ones is let your managers handle the tactical. You stay strategic. Too many of them ignore today's marketplace reality. They get so immersed in the minutia that they're not seeing that, oh, wait a minute, you know, we passed into the jet age a whole long time ago, and they're still pushing and trying to sell and trying to produce products that are outdated. They're trying to manage like they did 15, 20 years ago, and you're dealing with millennials, for heaven's sakes. They don't care, my friend, about the corner office. And they don't want to manage or be managed. Now, you're not going to change a whole generation. So you better get with the program and figure out how to manage them. Another thing is, one of the things that is really hard is the pressure to get immediate results. So that pushes people to make mistakes, to look at the short term and a quick win, low-hanging fruit, rather than make decisions that are part, that fit well within the mission and the vision.
Yes.
And, you know, I think one of the things that you don't hear people talk about very much, but it's so critical, is one of the mistakes they make and one of the obstacles is failing to establish clear values. Say them. What are your values?
Yeah.
And mission that guides the decisions and refer to them frequently. You have to provide consistency. You know, I don't mean to be demeaning here, but it's a lot like raising children and having a family.
Yeah.
You know, what is it we believe in? You know, when it gets tough, what do we fall back on as a value that this we will do and that we will not do? But when did you last? You don't hear leaders talk about that kind of thing. They should be talking about it all day, all day.
Yes, and to anyone out there that's tuning in, if you hear any of these issues and you feel that you may fall into that, again, isn't it time to change, to come with a different approach? Well, Gene, what I really want to do, I want to go 180 right now, and let's say there are people out there, and they believe that, hey, I want to move up in life. I want to move mm-hmm. to a higher position. Or they mm-hmm. believe that they deserve a higher income. And let's say that they're at a point in their career where they have been working, you know, a certain job that they settled in a way with, but they want to switch. But, again, they're a little bit older. They're really in their midlife. What do you feel may be some of the challenges for those people, the mm-hmm. the people going through midlife career transitions? And really, let's say, how can you help them actually go through this process if they feel like they deserve more or want to make that change?
The hardest thing of all for them is being on the other side of the desk. These are people who are used to other people coming to them to solve problems and make decisions. And developing a comfort level with being on the other side of the desk, as my father used to say, with hat in hand, asking for something. And so I work very hard with my people. I don't want them ever feeling that discomfort. When you have a certain level of achievement and accomplishments in your life, every contact you make in the process of maybe finding a new position should be a business discussion. In this particular case, you may be asking or considering whether you would want an offer from that company or that organization, but your conversation should be two business people sitting down and having an interesting discussion and conversation about the issues. Once I get people to that point, and part of that, a huge part of that, is developing their written materials so they speak for them. When you go into an interview, you should not have to spend 1 minute talking about your past. You don't want to talk about that, and they're not really interested in it. They're interested in how you can make them happier and more successful in the future, and you're interested in how being with them will make you happier and more successful. So get rid of that, all that business of talking about what you did 5 years ago and a project you did this or did that. First of all, probably pretty irrelevant. But what we want is to have it all in your written materials So they get the written materials, they read them at their leisure, they can, you know, figure out what is important and what isn't, so that both of you have a common sense of knowledge and information when you sit down for that interview. Most interviews, historically, the interviewer spends about 20% of the time talking, and the person being interviewed spends 80% because they're trying to tell everything they've ever done. My clients, their goal is to spend 20% of their time talking and 80% listening, because they have given the person in their written materials all they need to know. Now we're talking about getting to know you and your company and seeing your becoming a trusted advisor before you're even in the company.
So those are definitely some of the small things that, again, many people don't know of or realize, and they can make mistakes with that. Now you have a lot of this information as well in a book that you did write, The Age Advantage, Making the Most of Your Midlife Career Transition. Can you share with the audience a little bit of what's in that book, and where can they actually go to purchase a copy of it?
Well, they can get it from me, of course, but they can also get it through Amazon. And what it does is it'll do probably, hopefully, three different things. It will give them a sense of what the issues are, what are their age advantages, and that's what they want to be selling, not worrying about the age disadvantages, dealing with age discrimination, which is huge. And so they, learning what's the marketplace for them, and then learning the techniques and strategies to be successful, and third, in the process, regaining their confidence, regaining their sense of self, understand, and being proud of what they bring to the marketplace.
And if you could give them one more time where they could go to purchase that copy?
Either contact me or go directly to Amazon. That's the easiest.
And now that you did bring that up, if you could please share with the audience, where can they go to get more information about you or sign up for your great program?
Certainly on my website, www.jeaneericksonwalker.com. They can contact me at my phone, 503-816-5956. They can check me out on LinkedIn, and what's good about that is they'll also get messages and recommendations from clients who've worked directly with me, and those are always fun because they tell what it's really like. Or they can email me at Jean, J-E-A-N, at JeanErickSonWalker.com.
So, Jean, to all of the managers out there, and again, the CEOs, and especially when you reach at that point, there's usually very few people you can trust because, again, you're looking to maintain that leadership role, appear very strong. I want you to share to them what you really get out of this. Please share with them the personal satisfaction you get from helping some of these managers, leaders, CEOs, and helping them succeed in their own career.
My greatest joy, Matthew, is seeing people grow and take control of their lives by taking control of their careers. And seeing someone achieve something they never imagined they could achieve, that's incredibly exciting. And I know it's the stepping stone to the next even higher achievement. Success is a habit, and so is failure. It's how we see ourselves that most determines our next step.
That is so true. And again, it's really incredible. You shared so much important information today. And I know many of the people tuning in today has learned so much just from the show alone. But to everyone out there, if you're really looking to change the way you lead, change your level of confidence, take out the time and reach out to Jean. Again, this could do wonders for your career and your personal life at the same time. Well, we're just about out of time this evening, but I would like to thank everyone in the audience for tuning into our show. please visit accglobalmedia.com for all future show dates and times. And I also would like to thank our special guest that did join us this evening for our primetime segment, Ms. Jean Erickson-Walker. Jean, I thank you very much for joining us this evening.
It's been a delight. Thank you, Matthew.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
Bye-bye.